I'm learning all kinds of things about different ones of you here. I knew Mary played the trumpet, but I didn't know she could sing like that. That was so. What will I learn about the rest of you? And there's probably lots of talent here. When you study the Bible, one of the things that you see, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that there was a disease that was dreaded. You see this both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Reference to this disease occurs 68 times in the Bible, 55 in the Old Testament and 13 times in the New Testament. It was a disease that most of the time did not kill, but neither did it seem to end. It was considered, if you had the disease, it was hopeless. There was most of the time no cure, and it had tremendous devastating effects to it. What I'm referring to is the disease leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease, and it's still around today. It's estimated that 200,000 new cases are recorded each year globally. It's also estimated that 3 million people today are living with irreversible disabilities because of leprosy, including blindness, nerve damage in the arms and legs. And it is treatable if it's caught, but in so many third world countries, a lot of times they don't have the means to treat it. But it is, in many cases, it can be treated if caught early enough today, whereas years and years ago, it wasn't. It lingered for years, causing the tissues to degenerate, and it would eventually deform the body, cause all kinds of problems. Those with leprosy were shunned as outcast. People put them away. They didn't want to be near them. So you can imagine someone that had leprosy back in those days. What a terrible thing to hear, to realize that you had leprosy and the way people would treat you. It was a dreaded disease. I want to look at a story in Luke 17. It's a story that I think we learn a tremendous lesson from. Luke chapter 17. Jesus came in contact with many who had leprosy. And here's a story in Luke chapter 17 of some lepers that came to Jesus. They no doubt had heard that people were healed by him, and they thought, here's a chance, here's some hope for us. No doubt that's what they were thinking. Luke chapter 17, and beginning in verse 11. And now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. 10 men that had leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine what must have gone through their mind as they were doing what Jesus said, preparing to go see the priest to show themselves? And then all of a sudden, that horrible disease of their skin just cleared up. What that must have been like. Continuing in the story here, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This one man, he recognized that Jesus Christ had healed me. He healed me. I know it was him through his power that I was healed. He recognized where that healing came from. And he made sure to give God thanks. And it was from the heart. As you read this, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Verse 17, I think, contains a very important lesson for us. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 of you that were cleansed? There were 10 that asked for healing. But where are the 9? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. There were 10, but only one returned to give God thanks for this tremendous miracle. They were healed of leprosy. I think the lesson that we learn from this verse, a very important lesson, is that when God blesses us, one, he notices whether or not we give thanks. He notices that. And he also notices when we don't, as he did with these 9. What does God see with us? You know, are we thankful people? As Christians, we should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. But what does God see with us in our life? Do we thank him for our blessings on a regular basis? Do we really stop and give thought and from the heart we give thanks to God for all the blessings that he gives us? Well, less than 2 weeks from now, we'll be observing Thanksgiving. It's one holiday that we do observe along with the world. Thanksgiving is not focused on much today. A lot of people do recognize that. The focus is on the Christmas holidays. We see that in the stores. They're already playing the Christmas music. People are already shopping. We take a break, we stop, we eat a big meal, and then it's back to Christmas. And even on Thanksgiving, a lot of times I've noticed in my family, the big conversations are around going shopping the next day. I believe they call it Black Friday. That's what it's focused on. Very little thought and talk is given to Thanksgiving. When Thanksgiving first became a national holiday in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln called it a day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And President Lincoln's proclamation also said, the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. And Lincoln continued, no human counsel has devised nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. As the President of the United States, he recognized where the blessings came from. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. And it has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had leaders like that today that would recognize God and where our blessings come from? You do hear it from time to time, But it seems over the years, it's less and less. So why don't American leaders, or even average Americans, talk like this anymore? I think there are two reasons. I'd like to look at that this afternoon. Why is Thanksgiving being forgotten? Why is so little focus and attention given to Thanksgiving? One of the first reasons, I believe, is that we have forgotten how to be thankful. The idea of being thankful should impress upon us that we are undeserving of the many good things we have received. We've forgotten to be thankful. I've heard this statement quite often in the last few years about so many in our society today. A lot of times it's in reference to the millennials. It says, today an attitude of entitlement has replaced the attitude of thankfulness for many Americans. People feel like they're entitled to things, that they deserve things. We do see that a lot today. Instead of focusing on God and showing appreciation, many focus on themselves and their personal wants. The Bible records that it would be that way. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible here foretells that people would become self-absorbed and unthankful, less and less inclined to express gratitude. Paul writes in this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, or times of stress. Some translations say dangerous times. And when you read these characteristics, these attitudes, if people that are like this, you probably want to get out of their way. You don't want to, as we heard in the sermonette, you don't want to tick them off. You don't want that jack in the box to pop up. And then he goes on to describe, for men will be lovers of themselves, selfish. What's in it for me? I'm entitled to this. Lovers of money. What can this money buy? I want more money so I can buy more things. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And then right in the midst of it is unthankful. Unthankful. That's what the Bible foretells is going to, what it's going to be like in the end time. But God tells us we are to come out of the world. We're to be different. We're not to be like the world. Jesus said in John 17 that they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world, and we are not to be of this world. So one of the things God reminds us over and over in the Bible is to give thanks, to think about our blessings. You ever thought about that? How many times in the Bible you see references to giving thanks, to be thankful? There's quite a few of them. Let's look at a few to begin with. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God reminds us over and over that we are to be thankful. We are to give thanks. And I think as we do that, as we read what God says and we put that into action, it helps us to dwell on and to think about how blessed we are and where these blessings come from. But how many people actually do give thanks to God? As we heard in the sermonette, as Mr. Pedersen brought out, very, very true. We should be praying daily throughout the day. We should have our nose in the Bible every day. And if we're doing that, and we're paying attention to what the Bible is saying, one of the things we're going to see throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, is what God tells us to give thanks, to be thankful, to give thought to your blessings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, says, in everything give thanks. And notice this part of the verse. For this is the will of God. This is God's will that we give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Think about the blessings, the little things, the big things. Give God thanks. And if you take the time, and this is where the tool of meditation and just giving thought to these things comes in. Just sit sometime, maybe on a Sabbath morning with your cup of coffee, and just think about your week and how things have gone and the prayers that God has answered and how God has helped you here and how He's helped you there on the job and many different areas of your life, how He's helped you through trials and difficulties. It may take a little work, but it's what God wants us to do, to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. We see another verse that talks about giving thanks. God reminding us. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore by Him let us continually. So this is to be on a regular basis. Continually. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And that is, as he goes on to explain, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks. And it says to do it on a continual basis. To take time. And you know, when you give thanks to God, it causes us to think about the blessings. Maybe we realize how God intervened this week. How He has blessed us this week. Or how maybe we know of how He's blessed others. We have that on our mind and we go to God and give Him thanks for that. It takes work, but God wants us to be doing that. And it says here on a continual basis. Let's go back to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians will begin in chapter 3. Paul emphasizes this in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Colossians chapter 3, and he begins in verse 12. He says, as the elect of God, he talks about things that we need to be growing in, attitudes that we need to have, forgiving one another, putting on love. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Being thankful is not just saying, well, I'm thankful. It requires some thought. It requires some thinking about the blessings that God has given us. But be thankful. And then he tells us in chapter 4 of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, continue earnestly in prayer. So it's to be something that we do on a regular basis, being vigilant in it. But a part of our prayers, as this verse and others bring out, a big part of our prayers is giving thanks to God for the blessings that He has given us. Taking the time, maybe at the beginning of our prayers, to just thank God for the many blessings. In preparing this sermon, I was thinking about just thinking about all of the blessings over the years. I went back and I was thinking about when I first started attending church, and so many times God intervened for me on the job. I remember losing my first job because of the Sabbath. And that can be very stressful, as I know a lot of you can, but within a week I had found a better job. And I know that was God that did that and blessed me with that. And He's blessed you. And I just tried to think about all down through the years, over and over, the many times that God has blessed and God has intervened in my life and in the life of my family. And you could do the same thing. Do we take the time to thank God for those things? To even go back and let God know that I haven't forgot about that blessing that happened 10 years ago where it was so evident that you intervened and helped me for that healing or for that job that you gave me, that trial that you helped me through. A big part of our prayers should be giving thanks to God. And one of the things, brethren, I want to mention, and this is so important, is we need to be teaching our children to be thankful. Teaching our children God's way of life, and a part of that is to be thankful. As we teach them how to pray, as we get down on our knees and pray with them, we help them. Thank God for your many blessings. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my toys, the toys I've been blessed with. Help them to get in the habit of thanking God. Very important to be teaching our children that. One of the examples I know that we know that we are to follow, a perfect example, is that of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Jesus Christ, as we learn from His life and His example, and many times what you will see if He was praying to the Father, He would say, "Father, I thank You that You have heard me." Remember when He was about to resurrect Lazarus? He said, "I thank You that You hear me, and I know that You always hear me." He gave thanks, and we learn from that. But Matthew chapter 15, and beginning in verse 36, and this is the story where he had the loaves and the fishes and performed that miracle to feed the people. But yet He made it a point to give thanks to God for that. And so He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and what did He do? Did He just perform it and not give God any thanks for it? No, it says He gave thanks. And He broke them and gave them to His disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. One of the things, I was reading an article a number of years ago, and it was talking about one of the traditions. They called it a dying tradition in our country today, and that was families eating together. Fewer and fewer families are eating together at the table. They're busy going to ball games here and there or sitting in front of the television. But a family that sits around the table, and a lot of times when they're out not sitting together, they probably don't ask the blessing. But hopefully we are. Hopefully we recognize God has blessed us with this food. God has given us this meal. And we take the time to give God the thanks. We learn that from this example, and there are others that where Jesus Christ gave thanks. At the Passover meal, He took the cup and He gave thanks. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Look at one more scripture on this point. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16. This is a section of the Bible that we're very familiar with. Probably most of the time when we read this, we read it before we take up a holy day offering. But we're not going to take up an offering today, but we are going to read it because there's a very important point, I believe, that we need to focus on as we read this. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17. It says, every man shall give as he is able. But here's something that we are to think about. According to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. When we give an offering to God, he wants us to stop and give some thought to the blessings. And I think that going along with that, to thank God for that. It is an act of thanksgiving when we give an offering to God. We prepare for it. We give thought to it. We think about how God has blessed us. And we give that as an act of thanksgiving to God, our holy day offerings. So people have forgotten how to be thankful. What's another reason? And that is, I think we see this, do we see this today? We have forgotten God. People have forgotten God. Forgotten God. Let's turn to James chapter 1. It's so sad to see the way things are going in our world today, to see people get upset about someone praying or someone mentioning God or the Ten Commandments. But we're seeing more and more of that. God is not acknowledged. Fewer and fewer people, as polls show, is that people are, they don't believe in God more and more. There are more and more people who are agnostic or atheist. James chapter 1 in verse 17. A beautiful verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You know, give some thought to that when you read it. That's one of those verses that if you're studying the book of James, you're reading it in your personal Bible study, don't just read over that, but give some thought to that. Think about that. Every good gift, says every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No inconsistency with God. But every good thing, all the good things that we enjoy, comes from God. He made it possible. But yet, how many people recognize that today? How many people recognize that? Let's go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's one of the problems that we read about with Israel is God blessed them in so many ways. He wanted to give them so much more, but yet, time and time again, they forgot God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and beginning in verse 10, as Moses warns them. And when you have eaten and are full, you know, you've got plenty of food, you've got plenty, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You know, thank God for that. That you have plenty to eat. But beware, verse 11, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Beware that you don't forget God. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. How many times did they forget where they came from and how God had delivered them? And who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, and this is what we're seeing today in our land, then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. It's because we're so smart and look what we've done. Look what we've accomplished. Verse 19, and then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And they learned that lesson, or they didn't learn that lesson, but they experienced that. That's exactly what happened. They forgot God. They were disobedient to God. They did not recognize God or look to God. And they suffered the consequences of that. And the prophecies tell us that in this country, the same thing is going to happen. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul brings out something that man has rejected God, forgotten God, and God has allowed them to go their own way. Romans chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and notice, nor were thankful. They didn't stop and think about all the blessings and all the good things they had, that God provides all that. But no, they didn't do that. They were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and professing to be wise, they became fools. And mankind is going to learn that as we look at the prophecies, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and others, that this nation, the Israelitish nations, are headed for some very difficult times. Very difficult times. I want to go back to Daniel 2, and here's a good example for all of us. The book of Daniel, chapter 2. God used Daniel to interpret dreams, and he was a very powerful man in the nation, but yet he didn't let any of that go to his head. He was very, very humble, and he gave the credit to God. He knew that God was the one that gave him the ability, gave him the wisdom. Daniel chapter 2, and of course here, he was in a very difficult situation, him and his friends. If no one was able to give the interpretation of the king's dream, they'd be put to death. That'd be pretty scary. But Daniel knew that God could give him the interpretation of that dream. And so he went to God and he asked God to intervene. And we read here in verse 19, it says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He gave thanks to God. He recognized that God had intervened. He gave him thanks for that. Let's skip down to verse 23. As he's praying this prayer to God, he says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. He knew that the ability to interpret that dream, to have that kind of wisdom, was not something that he just had on his own. It came from God. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. You answered our prayer, and he thanked God for that. You have made known to us the king's demand. What a wonderful example for us as God's people to follow. That we don't forget God. We recognize where our blessings come from. And we give God thanks for that. Psalms 95. Book of Psalms, chapter 95. If you read the or study the book of Psalms, you'll see over and over the prayers of thanksgiving. Psalms 95, beginning in verse 1. Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. We come before God, before his presence. And that's something, really, we should give a lot of thanksgiving to God for that ability. Do you ever think about that? If you wanted to have an appointment with President Trump, what would your chances be of that being granted? Probably none. We wouldn't have any of us in this room. Very few people have that opportunity. But the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, it kind of is humorous sometimes when these scientists, they develop these powerful telescopes that they can look way out into space, and then they'll get a new one that they can even look further, and they discover these new planets and or new stars, many things. And they think, oh, wow, look what we have done with this telescope. Now we're able to see all of this. But yet, how much thought do they give to the one who created those planets and those stars way out there? And how much more that they don't even know about? And we, brethren, have the opportunity to come before him anytime we want. He's never too busy. But it says, when we come into his presence, we need to come before his presence with thanksgiving. Take some thought. It takes some work to really think about how wonderful God is and all the blessings that he has given us. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great king above all gods. How many people think about that when they get on their knees before God? When they wake up in the morning, that there's an almighty God, the creator of the universe. Verse 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his. The sea. You ever been out on a boat and as far as you can see, there's just water. And the waves come in and it gets to a certain point, but it doesn't go any further. Powerful waves. Beautiful oceans. It says the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. He's the creator. He created all things through Jesus Christ. And it's sad to think that we're living in a time when so many people, and as a nation, we have forgotten God. But God's people haven't forgotten it. And we want to make sure that we don't forget him. God has certainly blessed this nation, but there is a warning for those who forget God. Let's look at Jeremiah 18. We do see these warnings over and over. And the God who gave the prophets these messages, as we know, these prophecies will come to pass. We can count on it. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols, not recognizing the God, the Creator, but they'll just build them something or focus on something today, give all their attention to. And they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways. They've brought this on themselves. They're going to realize that, as the book of Proverbs tells us, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it's the end is the way of death or destruction. They have caused themselves to stumble in their ways. From the ancient paths, to walk in the pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. People are going to realize one day that there is a God in heaven. He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator. The blessings that they enjoyed came from Him. But we are seeing more and more the opposite of that today. People are forgetting God. I want to turn back to the book of Daniel and look at Daniel 4. Here's a story we're familiar with. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4. And what happened to him? He was, as you know, he was a man that was filled with pride, and he was pretty stuck on himself, pretty full of himself. And he was given a warning, but he didn't heed that warning. Daniel chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 25. And they shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with beasts. If he kept going in the direction he was going, he was told what would happen. Your dwelling shall be with beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Until you know that the Most High rules. Let's skip down to verse 30. Well, about 12 months later, verse 30, the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Well, he's pretty stuck on himself, isn't he? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. What was told you is going to happen to you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Just as it was said to him, what would happen, it did happen. He didn't think it would, and people today don't think that this nation is, with all the blessings and the technology and the wealth that we have, a lot of times when they hear the prophecies or they read about them, they don't think those things are going to happen. Not to the United States. It could never happen to us. But they've forgotten God, and it is going to happen just as God said. And it happened here as an example for us to learn from. I think it's important for us to take some time to really think about our blessings. Even sometimes just to make a list. Just to go the extra step and make a list. Write down your blessings. And maybe even try to think about some of the things that you've taken for granted or things I've taken for granted so that we can repent of that and change that. Some of the things, brethren, that I think that we really should be, and I know and I believe we are thankful for, but we never want to get to the point to where it's just kind of we look at it in kind of a casual way. We don't want to do that. Is our calling. Do you ever just really stop and think about your calling and how tremendous that is, that God has given you, he's given me and others an opportunity to be called right now? It was interesting at the feast this year, a young man gave a sermonette, really an outstanding sermonette. And he was pointing out, just if we were to look at a percentage of how many people are called today who are a part of the body of Christ. We know the body of Christ is scattered all over, but we know that there's not a huge number. But then he gave these figures. He said, let's just put a number on it. Just say there were 100,000 people today that were called right now, that were alive today, 100,000 around the world. Now, I don't know if we have any way of knowing if that's true, but he was just putting that figure out there. If that were the case, and we looked at the number of people, the population of the earth today, the number of people that would be called right now would be 0.00013%. Just a very, very little amount of people. If that were the case. 0.0013%. It's not very many. But yet, you and you and you back there, you're one of the ones that God has called. Not that we're any better than anybody else. Not that we were any more deserving. We know God is going to give everybody a chance. But do you ever just stop and take some time in your prayers to thank God for the calling and all of the doors that has opened up for us? We just got back from the Feast of Tabernacles, and a lot of you were able to go to Italy and other places. I was thinking about that. Growing up as an old country boy in East Texas, I had never been out of the South in my life when I started attending church. I'd been to Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, I think Mississippi on the way to Florida, Alabama, but not very many places. And then I came into the church, learned about the Feast of Tabernacles. You save your second tithe, and then here's all of these places that you can go to keep the feast, that God places his name there. I remember the first place when I went to Big Sandy for the first few years. But then, as I was able to get a better job and to save more second tithe, I was so excited I was going to get to transfer. But I couldn't go very far because I didn't have a lot of time off. And they opened up a brand new site, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I was so excited. The feast was going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I laugh about that now, too. But for somebody who had never been anywhere, Tulsa, Oklahoma, never been to Oklahoma. What's Oklahoma like? And there were a lot of people there at the feast that year, I think probably 7,000, 8,000. But then I got to go to other places, got to go to Canada several times. But I don't think it would have ever been possible had God not called me and allowed me to be a part of his church. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. One of those scriptures that we don't want to just read over. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and beginning in verse 10, the disciples came to Jesus and they said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries, the secret or hidden truths of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Do you know that applies to us today? It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, to the world in general, it has not been given. It has not been given. Skip over to verse 16. Jesus continuing this thought, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your eyes see things that most people in the world don't see. And your ears, for they hear. You hear with understanding. They hear, it doesn't make sense to them. Some of the basic truths that we can take for granted, the truth about heaven and hell and other basic truths that we know the truth, that God's opened our mind, they don't understand it. They've been deceived. They don't grasp it. Are we thankful for that calling to be a part of God's church, to be a part of the body of Christ, to know the true God, to come before the true God and the true Jesus Christ? Most of the world believe and teach about a false Christ, another Christ, another gospel. But we've been given the opportunity to know the truth. What about our families? You know, a lot of us have our families in the church, or most of our family in the church. What a wonderful blessing that is. The physical blessings we enjoy, the places we live, the jobs that we have, this country that has been blessed by Almighty God, that we're able to live in it. Not everybody has that opportunity. Our oldest son, Charles, is living in Nigeria. He's on a teaching, he has a teaching job over there. It's been a wake-up call for him. He really misses the blessings of the United States. And in our talking with him, he said, you take for granted sometimes just the things that you take for granted over here, just going to the grocery store. He likes to cook. And he was going to cook some dish and he needed an onion. And so he went to a grocery store in the capital of Nigeria to get a white onion. That's what the recipe called for. He went in there and all they had was purple onion. They had no white onions. If you go to the grocery store here, you want an onion. Well, how many varieties of onions could you, you've got purple onions, you've got white onions, you've got the sweet Vidalia onions, you've got the hot Spanish onions, you've got the miniature pearl onions, you've got green onions. Over there, you've got one choice, a purple onion. And if you want cheese, he loves sharp cheese. He asked us to ship him some sharp cheese. You can't get sharp cheese in Nigeria. I was talking with a gentleman a while back who had gone over to one of the African nations. And he said it was an experience he'll never forget. One of the men that lived over there in that African country was talking with him. He says, well, what do you think about it over here? And he was trying to be nice. He said, well, it's very interesting and seen some interesting things, some beautiful things. He said, how would you compare it to the United States? And he says, well, there are some differences. He was trying to be nice. And the man looked at him and he said, I have been to the United States. And he said, the way I would describe it is, it's like going from heaven to hell, is the way he would describe it. You know, do we give thanks to God for all the physical blessings that we have? To conclude, let's turn to Psalms 100. Go back to Psalms 100. I look forward, brethren, to the time, and I know you do too, when the whole world is going to enjoy prosperity and abundance. That time is coming, and what a wonderful blessing it is to know that truth, to be a part of the work that is proclaiming that message to the world, to be called now, to be given the opportunity to be used and to assist Jesus Christ when that time comes. Psalms chapter 100. beautiful verse. The title in my Bible of this psalm says, A Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's very short, 5 verses. Let's read it. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Recognize that he's God. It is he who has made us. You ever think about that? God is the creator. He made you. He made me. The people that don't believe in God, he made them. They're going to know that one day. He's our creator. It's almost unbelievable to think that people would not recognize God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We didn't just pop up. We didn't just happen. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Here's that phrase we read earlier in one of the other Psalms, verse 4. When we come before God, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We've read that, and you'll read that in many places. I hope it will be something that we won't forget. That when we come before God, before his presence, that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Be thankful to him. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.